to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Hey everybody, Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Hey Rob, Bustleary. And we are doing wrestling talk here on a Monday night. And
we had to be with our moms.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it was Mother's Day, and I was with your mom, so it was all good. All right.
How long did that joke take? Did you have that on a piece of paper?
Oh no. But your mom did just mail it in. So, Steve, what is too sweet for this week?
You mean outside of Rob's mom?
Wow, you guys love my mom. That's incredible. Did you grab a shovel? Because she died 23 years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, you know, what can we say?
Hey, man, that's how some people do it, I guess. Anyway. Yeah,
like Kane. We Katie Vick. Katie
Vick storyline. Oh, God, I banged her brains out.
Oh, my God.
That didn't age well then.
No shit. But, too sweet this week. Quite a few, actually. Say whatever you will about him, and I know that certain people will, but Adam Copeland had a damn solid week this week in AEW. He wrestled Brody King in a no DQ match for the TNT title on Wednesday in a match that was pretty fucking brutal. And then I do have to say, though, I say it's brutal, but it wasn't over the top, unneeded brutality. They told a good story, and that was something that was key.
I think Maya agrees with you. He's smiling.
I know, right? Only 4 days later, he went out and had a technically solid match with Kyle O'Reilly on Collision. You know, Copeland picked up the win in just under 20 minutes after a spear, after telling a story of working over Kyle's midsection for the majority of the match. Holy shit. In-ring storytelling. And then elsewhere, you know, we now have a main event for Double or Nothing, and it's not Swerve Strickland versus Christian Cage. As announced by Kenny Omega from the local medical facility, Anarchy in the Arena returns for yet another year here in Las Vegas. The Young Bucks, Kazuchika Okada, and the scapegoat Jack Perry versus FTR, Brian Danielson, and maybe Eddie Kingston. I say maybe because Eddie Kingston wrestled Gabe Kidd at New Japan Pro Wrestling's Resurgence event on Saturday and lost the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship to Gabe Kidd in a no ropes last man standing match in which he took a bump that I don't know if it went according to plan, but he banged his leg on a guardrail and was limping for the rest of the night based on all eyewitness accounts. So not good for Eddie Kingston. Hopefully it's just him selling elsewhere. The King and Queen of the Ring tournament is in full swing in WWE. And yeah, man, this is the time to get me back into the full swing with WWE. Ricochet, Ilya Dragunov tore it the fuck up on Monday. Amazing chemistry, fast-paced, athletic, back and forth. It was a very solid match. Dragunov picked up the win in 17 minutes. One hell of a full-time Raw debut. And then also you had Gunther defeating Sheamus in 19 minutes to advance over there. And I there love it go. When somebody actually beats somebody with a half crab. I am a mark for that. It's an old-school wrestling move. And what more could you expect from Gunther? Obviously, just by mentioning, you know, those two guys being in the match, you know, it's going to be a banger. And it was.
banger after banger after banger after banger.
That's right.
With MASH.
Can't forget the MASH, bro.
Oh, Rob, just describing how I did his mom this weekend there.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, well,
you know, that brings up a great point, and that is for all these people who have always been like, well, WWE just gives us the same matches, the same people, blah, 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 blah. For all those people who go, oh, NXT, I can't watch that. It's just so, you know. the fact of the matter is that you're seeing the actual benefits of what that product.
You know what NXT stands for, right? Not extreme talent.
Really? Wow. Wow. What? It's interesting. Especially because Dragunov, as Steve just said, had an amazing match.
I will say this about the Dragunov match. There was an energy there. The move sets did not wow me until the finisher. But there was an energy for him. I don't know how they're going to use him, but he brought it. What I liked was our Irish guy got back in shape in about 1 week and looked decent again.
Absolutely.
He didn't look like a sloppy version of himself wearing underwear. He came out. And Sheamus looked good, and he wrestled well, and he delivered on his promise. WWE's matches this week delivered on their promises.
Yes.
And though we hate hearing about her, let's talk about it from the other side. Piper Niven was well in, did a good job in the ring, and we see people implementing blue thunder bombs. So that was
still no one has ever won a match with one.
No, I think one time Sami Zayn did win a match last year with a blue thunder bomb once. You know,
it's like the greatest 1-2 ooh move of all time.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I mean, the spot looks amazing, but nobody ever wins with him.
No.
No.
I want to become an Italian wrestler, and that might will be my finisher. It'll call it the pizza flip.
Hell yeah!
I think that that might be the. One of the gimmicks coming up for one of the AEW guys.
Hey, man.
Pizza flip. You never know. Hey.
Yeah.
What? Who was that? Who was that? That one indie worker that that had the pizza gimmick.
Yeah.
Luigi Fortino or whatever.
The and he would bring a pizza. He'd bring dough in the rings or flipping it around like an ultimate frisbee.
Yeah. Where is he?
Luigi Primo. Thank you.
Luigi Primo. It sounds like a Kroger brand sauce.
Well, that's what he's doing now. He's giving out samples of the sauce at Kroger.
Oh. Better than Bootio's, because we know where they would get that from.
Yeah, and just like your mom, I pancaked her.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. You brought up the New Day.
You know... Even I know when to let something go.
Do you, though?
But she didn't. All right. So, Rob, what's too sweet for this week on top of all that shit you just said?
No. Definitely the matches on Raw and SmackDown were good. The Cope Open challenges are looking good. What they're doing by breaking up the best friends. It was odd seeing what's his name come out, Don Callis, and make it look like, you know, they're gonna swerve it where Don Callis
absolutely
he's coming out for Orange Cassidy. I love this kid. I've been watching this kid for 20 years now. He looks great, and like, you know, you're gonna go for Trent Beretta. It's just a matter of time, because Orange Cassidy's not gonna go for that. But maybe you could do something bizarre and have him be a heel. You could dye his hair black or do something hokey like that. It could be interesting, because we have not seen anything of the Don Callis family. They pretty much broke it up already. But his in-ring commentary is great. His commentary is just amazing. What we've seen with the Stampede, the stadium type Stampede thing that they're going to do. I don't care, but we'll get to that. It's good talent. And it's a good one where you're watching the tapes to pick a match and pick competitors. But where does it go as far as the storyline?
Oh, God. Did you just say storyline?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I've got a couple of what the fucks coming up with Miss Monet. But we had some good matches with the women in AEW. The champagne spot was fun. There was lots of good moments to be had. The King of the and Queen of the Ring, it's like halfway good because we didn't get to see some of those matches. Right. They're at live events. I'll get to that later. I'll just drop it at that, and we'll get to that later. I got more what the fucks than I have happy times.
Well, there you go. So we can go from there to... Where's the love, Rob? Where's the love?
Baron Corbin, why did we bring him back just to embarrass him?
Because he's a constant professional, Rob. He does what he's told, and he knows he gets a paycheck. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Your job is to be the jobber. That's and.
Carmelo looked fucking great, though. He did his goddamn job.
He did his job, but he's the example of one of those wrestlers where they go, "Oh, look who's back!" and he's in the best shape of his life. Which, by the way, are the words you hear before somebody gets a massive injury. You know. Big Show. Every time Big Show comes out to it, he's in the best shape of his life. He's going to be stretchered out. it doesn't make any sense to me to put people on another brand to have them job. And again, and I said it again, Piper Niven did a good match. Chelsea Green, I'm just waiting for the time that they're going to be drummed out. Giovanni, he's another one. Where's the love on him? Because I don't see what they're going to do with him now. He is going to be the guy who shows up to, you know, just lose. He's another jobber now. The moment they kicked him out of that faction, I went,
he goes back to NXT, or
right. But there's
doesn't matter. The guy isn't fucking anything else.
No, and that's fair. That's fair. But you had him in a group. You had them as a tag team. You could have made them with the split on the tag belts. You could have made them a tag champs for a little while and give them some sort of a push. But they kind of tore them up a lot earlier than I thought that, you know, they had more life to them because Giovanni was starting to get momentum, starting to win matches. They had that feud with the New Day, which went over well, I thought. And New Day sold. New Day knows how to put people over and make them look good. So I thought they kind of pulled the rug out from under him. I don't know if he was injury prone, concussion prone, which is why they did it, because he had that 2-week absence for after the injury he sustained that they thought maybe the guy's too soft. But yeah, that's my where's the love.
All right, Steve, who you got love for?
You know, I really got to know where is the love. And I know you guys are gonna give me a weird look when I say this, but where is the love for FTR? And I'm gonna put this out there. They're two time world tag champs. I get it. They're viewed as one of the best tag teams in the world, as proven on Dynamite. When Dax Harwood wrestled the nephew of the Dynamite Kid, Tommy Billington. By the way, Dax picked up the win, 13 minutes, Liger bomb. But it was a great showing for Billington, who was made to look like $1 million by Dax Harwood. Dax has a really good knack for being able to make his opponents look extraordinary in the ring. Regardless of whether he wins or loses, he makes his opponent look amazing compared to when they walk through the curtain. And
he's basically Baron Corbin.
You know, I didn't want to make the comparison, but I mean, realistically, one could possibly say that.
Happy Dax Harwood.
Happy Dax.
Harwood. Happy Harwood.
Happy Harwood. Harwood.
That's a great porn name. Happy Harwood.
Oh,
I'm sure that's the name of a movie.
Oh, yeah, it's the Happy Gilmore porn.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but look at this. Oh.
Get in the hole. Get in the hole. It's your home.
ultimately the main reason why I said, you know, where's the love for FTR is, as has been shown the last few weeks, and especially since Dynasty, it just feels like from a perception point of view and perception standpoint that the Bucks just have FTR's number. FTR will never, ever, you know, take that next step to be the top tag team in the company while the Young Bucks are still around. And I think that is really unfortunate.
But isn't the FTR, aren't they boys with some guy who's now in the other company, and the Bucks might be, I don't know, fucking them over?
I mean, you know, that's certainly a valid point, but regardless, I'm not trying to look at backstage politics with this. I'm just,
yeah, but those, you know, two, going from an, those two assholes, you kind of have to, though. That's the thing about the Bucks. The ego's there. Like, Omega, you really can't say it.
Right.
Because Omega's never really showed that side. Cody never showed that side publicly. But those two fucks, they just kind of give that fucking vibe off of, you know, we're kind of douchebags because we like ourselves that much.
And they're right to make that their in-ring persona right now. That this version of them is fucking, it's like, you know, a duck to water.
Right.
But also they're doing the vest because they've got guts and they have to do the, they got fupas going on.
Fupas.
Well, there you go. Man.
I think that's the Fupa Bucks.
Well, I think Fupa Leo is coming into the bloodline next week. So,
Fupa Leo. It wouldn't surprise me. we got to have a video package, by God, or else it doesn't mean shit.
Right. Yeah, just
right.
I thought Fupa Leon was Nia Jax.
No, she's Fupa Fulon because. Okay.
Will she just join the? Will she just join them already? Can we do this? What are we waiting for? She's now on the brand. They're on, doing solo matches. Another Where's Love. She's on the same brand now. She gave the one. Why is she not showing up and beating up women in the name of Bloodline? This seems like a slam dunk. It's so easy.
Give it time. Because realistically, if you're going to incorporate then Naomi into, you know, Trinity's going into,
and have her come out and say, I don't want to be Naomi anymore. I want to be Trinity, which is a cooler name anyway. It's a little, it sounds more creative than Naomi.
Except that if she wants to own the rights to Trinity, I would just stay with Naomi.
But isn't that her like real name, or is that another stage name?
It is a real name, but the thing is that if that's your real name, if she gets released, she can't go by her real name. So that's why
if they own the IP.
With the fucking,
Well, I thought that's what they did with the Hardys. They were still Matt and Jeff Hardy, but they were not the Hardy Boys. They were just the Hardys.
Right.
So I thought if you have your real name, I'm Rob Bosselary. You can't tell me I'm not Rob Bosselary. Like Cody Rhodes is Cody Runnels, and he had to be Cody and Brandy Rhodes. So there was always workarounds. But I mean, she showed up in the Indies as Trinity, as just Trinity, not Trinity Fatu. But they could do that. She could be Trinity Fatu in WWE, and that would shore up, you know, in case she leaves.
Yeah, and that would really change a whole lot about her in the WWE. Jeez.
No, but I want there to be, if you're going to do this Bloodline and you have two women who are part of the actual fucking Bloodline on the brand, find a way to get them to tag together, find a way to make them heels, which would not be hard at any point. Oh, the fans never respected me in Trinity. Oh, you know, I always got shit on in, you know, Nia Jax. Easy to do. That's all.
Wow. So we just found out Rob likes to shit on Nia Jax. That's a nice kink there, buddy.
She's into it, you know? More cushion for the...
Fupa? Steve, what the fuck?
Oh, man. All right, so Will Ospreay versus Lee Moriarty finds himself here in WTF, not for the match quality, not for the work rate, any of it. This match wasn't announced before today or so, and Ospreay, who quite honestly has the rocket strapped in his back, should not be having 50-50 matches with Moriarty. No offense to Lee Moriarty, but 50-50 match.
Steve, your audio is a little wonky. Is it?
I took my headphones off. It sounds like he's in another universe.
Yeah, there you go, Steve. Just talk.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. You're good.
All right.
It's so fucking weird. Sorry, guys. Yeah, all right. So Will Ospreay versus Lee Moriarty finds itself here in what the fuck? Not for the match quality or the work rate or anything of that nature, but it's because Will Ospreay should not be working 50-50 matches with Lee Moriarty. He, no offense to Moriarty, but 50-50 competitive match that goes on for over 10 minutes is not what you do with Will Ospreay when you're pushing him toward a title. And quite honestly, if we're looking at the bigger picture, toward the world title in Wembley. Elsewhere, after Mariah May beat Harley Cameron on Dynamite, she was jumped by Saraya. Yeah, you know, she's still around. Anyway, making the save was none other than not Toni Storm, but Mina Shirakawa. I'm fine with that. A women's match, women's angle, that's all good. At the end of the match, at the end of the segment, you know, Mina brandishes two champagne glasses that were already filled. Wait, okay, so let's just take a step back here. Where's the fucking mini bar?
William Shivani said that, didn't he?
And much more, like, evidently, if they've got a full-on liquor cabinet at ringside, I guess that explains a lot. But, yeah, what the fuck there?
JR's not at the table anymore, so are you sure they still have the liquor?
maybe they brought it out after he left so that, you know, they figured everything was safe.
Yeah.
Watch his old New Japan commentaries where he's drunk out of his mind.
God.
Well, Japanese got big since I was a little boy.
He did have some funny shit when he was doing New Japan, for sure. but what wasn't funny was the Serena Deeb promo. She's not bad on the mic. In fact, she's pretty good. But the fans in the audience, along with Toni Storm, who came out, did not give one single solitary shit about her backstory. Even the fans were chanting for the Edmonton Oilers when she was being very, very real about her seizures and her health issues. You know, the fans want to cheer Toni. That's all that there is to it. They need to pivot, and they need to have heel challengers come after Toni in the title to make sure what happened on Wednesday doesn't happen again. And one last WTF for WWE, King and Queen of the Ring matches on house shows. Come on. What the fuck?
Yep. That was one of mine.
Yeah, and that's something that isn't new either, to be honest. They've done that over the years. So
yeah.
The valid thing though on that is one very simple thing, and that is when you are bringing in a higher amount of people into house shows now, it's smart to do either a match, you know, that has significance that will be talked about on TV because it makes you feel like you were part of something in a, you know, smaller town, right? Or title changes. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a title change happening within the year at a house show.
Yeah, that's how Kane won the championship.
Who won?
That's how Kane won his belt, was at a house show.
Which belt?
He won the world heavyweight
world title.
He won a world title about 20 years ago at a house show and then lost it the following Monday night on a Raw.
No, it wasn't a house show. He beat Steve Austin in the Hell in the Cell. The Mick Foley Hell in the Cell happened right before Austin and Kane were in a First Blood match. And Undertaker came in and he cut open Austin, and that's how Austin lost the belt to Kane. And then on the night after on Raw, that's when Austin got the rematch and won the belt back.
The same thing I did. Steve.
Well, I don't know what house show you were watching, Rob, but
in any event, I could see some things being done on house shows. It is good if they go back to the spontaneity of things. I mean, now that you've eloquently corrected everything, Michaels, outside of that, the only main title change was what? Diesel beating Bob Backlund at a house show back in the fucking early 90s.
Ric Flair and Bret Hart.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the most notable.
Here's the problem with them doing what they did. They did a vignette with Kofi Kingston talking about how important this was that he win this, how Woods got screwed out of his time, that he was really overshadowed when he became King of the Ring. And now you're going to elevate this, and now it's not to be seen. It's at the house show. So if you were going to then follow up and say, well, these guys are going to be appearing at this venue to wrestle this portion, something, or that you'll be able to see it on, you know, Peacock, something to connect it all together. I don't mind that they want to bring people to their house shows, but they didn't put all of the connecting pieces together. I know they do advertise on the bottom that will be appearing in these cities, but if I knew that they were going to wrestle this portion that you just promoted, then maybe if I'm in that part of the world, I'm going to go to that part of the country, that city, that town, and go check out the show to see this match that you just heavily promoted. That's problem number one with that. The other thing is, and again, I got back to the thing with Baron Corbin. If Baron Corbin is going to be part of SmackDown and we're going to do some long-term storytelling with him, and we don't want him to be a goofball heel, and I want to take him seriously, it annoyed me that you have Carmelo Hayes go out and get him so easily, and it was like a 10-minute match, but still, I don't want this guy to lose so fast. I want to take him as a serious competitor, because now I don't look at him as a serious competitor. I look at Baron Corbin as the automatic loss, and it's just going to be some shenanigans to get to that automatic loss. It's a waste to do that on Friday night. If the guy is not a threat to anyone and the guy, he still has no personality, no gimmick, he's still coming out in some sort of Shield gear, they don't know what to do with him, fine. Leave that on NXT if you're going to use him that way. Because, again, we talked about Piper Niven. Piper Niven wrestled, and she and Jade Cargill used new moves, and Chelsea Green is a good mouthpiece. She's a good manager, really, which she is, not a tag team person. She's more like the manager for Piper Niven almost.
No wonder Matt is a lucky man. She's a good mouthpiece, that Chelsea Green.
Yeah. Mid Cardona leaves with some good ass at the end of the night. But they used them right. They used them in, and he uses her right, I'm certain. But they used them. I'm cutting them off because I know it's coming. but they did a good job. So don't bring somebody in. When you talk about Kyle O'Reilly, Kyle O'Reilly over in AEW looks like a guy who's lost in a shuffle already. It was that.
Well, I mean, he also was injured for a year and a half.
Sure, but they had the match.
Injured, quote unquote.
It was a good match. The thing with the blood, the bloody nose, or something, or the bloody lip, where he grabbed that was a little awkward. That ending after the bout, I wasn't certain what they were going for there. I couldn't quite figure out because he looked like he was pissed, and I thought they were going to go for the jaded guy thing. Which, again, you're fighting. You're fighting.
Is there not anything that you can't bring up, Jade?
No, for fuck's sake.
I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. Jade, your second husband's waiting right here. You know, this could be yours.
Just call him Sloppy.
You know what? Sloppy thirds, even. Don't care. You know. It's Jade fucking Cargill, all right? You know? That's But they're with regards to Kyle O'Reilly, some of the stuff going on AEW, I'm just looking at some of these people. I the long-term effects. See, like WWE, you can spot a mile away, like with Giovanni, where they got no future left. With AEW, None of them have a future. They're all gonna circle down the drain together because they don't use anybody right. So like Lee Moriarty, why am I having a match with Lee Moriarty when I could use my star guy to just talk? All he needs to do is come out and go, "Hey, bruv, I'm the bloody best." What do I need him to fight Lee Moriarty? I know the guy's good. I don't give a shit about that. Why is Kyle Fletcher teaming up with people who are not in, you know, the family? There's another one. There's another guy who's good. Do we see him? No. And are they trying to do a pseudo WWE thing where some people only get to be on certain shows and that's it? Because
it absolutely was the plan when Collision started. That was Punk's show.
Yeah.
And that was
separate rosters.
Start for separate rosters. They were supposed to be doing that.
But they didn't advertise as such.
No, they did. They came out and basically said this is what we're doing.
Mm.
Yeah. It was set up like that. And the reason being was because I think quite honestly, they knew that Collision was a hard sell for a Saturday night ticket sale to a live show.
You only have certain people at certain dates you're going to
right. get off. And especially if you had Punk doing it and then you had FTR on that, you looked at what they were building. That was not a bad way to go about it.
You mean Fragile Phil?
There you are. Absolutely. Fragile Phil. that's the thing. The thing is that it just deteriorated. And now the problem, and this is kind of some of the problems they have with the storytelling in general, and that is when something deteriorates, instead of just killing it, which the WWE is great at just fucking killing shit, right? They'll start something up and you're like, "Oh, this is interesting. Oh, what the fuck happened to that?"
Oh, you mean like the speed show that's going to be dead in a year?
Yeah, the one that I don't even care about right now. So, yeah.
But there's a belt too. It's a speed belt.
Oh, Ricochet
has. Don't know what it's. Yeah, it's a speed belt.
Yeah. Well,
you know. Father James Mitchell will be his.
Yeah.
Will be his in-ring manager.
Just wait, you know.
So, I know about speed.
And Mike Bailey will be coming in.
That's right.
To claim that he is the real speed champion.
Hey, bro. If I could see Mike Bailey on a major promotion, I would love it. I would genuinely love that.
You know what?
Yeah, but he also talks. He talks like he's got peanut butter in his mouth.
That's why you give him a mouthpiece.
Well, and speaking of mouthpieces, this is something we came up with. Is a brilliant idea. And that is, why are they not selling Mike Bailey teeth? You know, fake teeth that you put in, like the Dracula teeth, to have those big chompers in your mouth? Yes. Oh, Rob, if you're watching the video, Rob, that was very, very, really, wow, racist. Jesus. And it's just for whatever reason, it's just because of the way your face is shaped. That, it was just really, oh my God, that's horrible.
That's what he looks like.
Oh God.
Hey, it looks like the end of every Power Rangers episode.
I feel like I'm watching New Japan.
Which he wrestles on and still does that.
Right.
Good old Canadian racism. That's on him.
There you go. There you go. There's the what the fuck's a butt.
Hey, Daryl.
That's what happens when DJ can't make a show. This is the shit you got.
Yeah.
You make it sound like I said Mike Bailey goes in the ring and says, "Me love you long time."
Okay, so now we've got Mike Bailey coming out to "Me So Horny" as his theme music.
Yes! Yes! That would be the best.
Sign me up. That'd be fucking hilarious.
He just walks in the ring and goes, "Ah, me so horny, That's the best.
Jones Top Dollars group with Rich Swann.
Yes, yes, he has to come out with Rich Swann, and the two, they all come out to me so horny. With
oh, God.
And his finisher could be Tubuku.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Bukkake. Bukkake.
It's Tubuku.
Oh, boy. All right. yeah. So what the hell is next?
But I can see Sammy Callahan joining the group and doing some speedballs. and then he could really be the death machine when he ODs.
God. Oh, he's an Axel Rotten waiting to happen in a Balls Mahoney world. I got you to laugh on that one, Steve.
Yeah, you fucking did.
Okay, here's the lookout. Rob, what are you on the lookout for?
Lookout for myself tomorrow at 18 Bin at 8 o'clock in the Arts District in Las Vegas. If you want to see more humor like this, I'll be dressed up as Donald Trump all week. The lookout. I'm really enjoying again the Bloodline stuff. They're keeping it fresh. Didn't think that was possible. The fresh transfusion of Tongan blood is really making the story interesting. And when he goes, hey, you haven't spoke to Roman Reigns, but I did. Oh, I am the leader. Oh, I am waiting for Roman Reigns to come back and go, the fuck? I never said that. I cannot wait for Solo Sikoa. And then Paul Heyman goes, oh, really? I can't wait. It's coming. You can see it a mile away. You're just like, oh, this is going to be good.
So the question is, and I think this is very valid. The question is Paul Heyman behind all of this? Is he the one who is basically paving the way for Solo to be the leader? And really, you know, the whole thing is he hasn't talked to Roman. That's not a lie. But why not have him, you know?
And again, let's talk Survivor Series, if that's going to be, if we drag this out that far out.
Yep.
Remember what I was saying about Trinity earlier, Naomi? You could still do a civil war and have Solo Sikoa and Nia Jax and the, you know, Gorillas of Destiny, let's call it what it is, versus the Usos and Roman Reigns with Naomi on their side. You could still have this. This is look, I know where I'm at my totem pole in life. This is easy, especially if you have Nia Jax who could, you know, let's have her botch it with a guy. And then try to sell that angle. It goes so many different ways. I want to see the Civil War, the Bloodline Civil War. I'm going to keep bringing that up until they do it.
Oh, well, the anticipation is that that is your War Games match.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's got to be.
That's the anticipation. So the question, of course, is how does it play into Roman and The Rock? And I think in the end, it won't be Paul Heyman necessarily that was behind it. We'll find out that The Rock is the one who is behind, you know, Solo.
Well, that's great. He gets to pick his winners. And he could either argue that he wanted to make the family stronger by having a fight amongst themselves. He picks the best of the group. That could also go so many different ways. With an eventual idea that he's going to go to Roman and go, hey, look, I gave you the ball. I put all my weight behind you and you still lost. I'm going to take on Cody now. I was always the guy. I bowed to you. You bow to me now. That's how this works. I'm the tribal chief. Call me when you release a movie that's not straight to DVD or straight to digital, I should say. But yeah, I mean, that's it. That's going to be so damn good. On the other hand, I want to see what's going to happen with everyone screwing over Swerve Strickland because we don't see Prince Nana. And it would make sense to me that Prince Nana comes out and goes, yeah, I'm tired of dancing around like an idiot for you. And you just, you know, give me dirty looks. I made you. You know, all these guys in the Mogul Embassy made you. And you give nothing back. We haven't had a title match. We haven't had anything. And your first responsibility should have been to use your authority now as a leader and use your, you know, influence to get us in the mainstream. And you ignored us the whole way through. You know, didn't even want us to come with you in the ring. You could easily write, you know, retcon that he didn't want them to show up ringside with them, with him at any of his matches. Easy, easy story, and have Bishop not Prince Nana screw him over. Matt's deep in thought on this one.
Yeah, no shit.
The other thing is Bishop Bishop Cole, isn't he part of the Tongan bloodline too? Those two guys are.
I'm not sure.
Who?
Bishop Khan and Toa Leona.
Are they part of the Tongan bloodline? I think so, but I mean,
not relevant enough.
Of course.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Because I heard Toa Leona, and every time I heard that name, I'm like, wait a minute.
Well,
another one is Jeff Cobb. Where's he been?
Oh, he's going to be on Dynamite this week. If you saw, seriously, he's in a tag match.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Jeff Cobb is in a tag match, partnering with Kyle Fletcher, against the IWGP World Champion, John Moxley. That's the reason for that. And the tie-in for that is, you can bring in a New Japan guy when on the other side of the match is going to be the champion of that brand. So
I didn't necessarily have to be in that in SmackDown. Is that a possibility?
Cobb's not related, so they wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Okay, I thought because it's all that same part of the world. So that's why I did pros it as a like, okay.
Okay, Rob. If anyone can't say they all look alike to me, that's you.
So no.
Jeez.
No. Listen,
I'll get a mullet. Like, I got wigs.
The next one, most likely that would be coming in is Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
He's it's all but signed up.
Was he champion for a while there?
He was the MLW champion.
MLW.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the WWE is not potentially bringing in other Samoans. They definitely are going to be probably bringing in guys who are not in the bloodline, which could lend itself, you know, in some kind of outside help, you know. Because so far, you know, that's the other thing, too. What we really haven't gone back to yet is the fact that when Roman comes back and he's got the two Usos, if Jacob Fatu joins Solo's group, that's four of them.
Yeah.
If you have Roman and the two Usos, who is the person to join? And that is Sami Zayn.
Maybe. Or Nia Jax revealed, I'm not like most girls.
Jesus.
So she reveals she's actually Nyla Rose. That's what you're saying. Okay. Rob wants a instead of a Hunger Games, he wants a Crying Games match.
Oh, okay. Oh God.
Wow.
Don't worry. Jade Cargill will save me.
You know.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Rob. All right, Steve.
Bailey humor.
Steve, what do you have to look out for besides Rob getting hate mail this week?
Yeah, no shit, man. I don't even need to say anything, but you know, because Rob's doing so good of a job with that. But you know, I think. What I'm looking out for, I know that, Rob, you did mention earlier the situation with Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta, and Don Callis. I do want to see how that unfolds. I think that it's exactly what you and I had mentioned. I think that it is going to be Don Callis bringing in Trent, but also Chris Statlander. And, you know, I've mentioned that in the show. But elsewhere, I am looking out for Double or Nothing weekend. And also the weekend of shows that will be here in Vegas. FSW will be running a show on Friday. Then, of course, Saturday is going to be Collision. And Sunday is Double or Nothing itself. I know I'm gonna hit up all three nights. What's
there's
up?
I think it is Sunday. It's either Saturday or Sunday. There'll be the All Women show that Ed in San Antonio presents at the arena. I think it is Sunday. And then I believe there's another FSW. I think might be doing a Future Shock show the same day.
And those are great events because I don't want to use the term mistakenly local talent because you get good guys.
Rob, you're swallowing your mic, man.
Too loud.
Yeah, you. Well, it was too.
You were too close.
Oh, okay, John Morrison. I saw him at a GCW match at the what the hell is that casino on the north side of town? The Silver Nugget.
Yeah.
So they're great matches, and the prices are affordable.
Right. Unfortunately, GCW made a mistake, and Brett does realize that he accidentally booked Chicago on Memorial Day weekend, didn't realize that AEW was going to be running Double or Nothing, and GCW will not be in town. So the talent pool is good, but it's also kind of limited just because you're not going to have – that's the other question, too. No one's really sure – when it was happening for the 3 years that it's been done, on Wednesday it was Dynamite. And so you had people in on Wednesday all the way through Sunday. And this is the first time you literally have just Saturday and Sunday. So the question is, how many wrestling fans are in town for the event, hopefully Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? So that some of these shows do get seen. So, but everything will be on Triller as well. So check
absolutely
out the old Fight TV.
The prices, by the way, for Double or Nothing tickets are not that bad.
Oh yeah,
just wait until the day of. I'm sure you can score them for $15.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
really.
The second.
Yeah, you'll be able to see.
Yeah.
Huge drops in pricing.
Interesting. Okay.
First bell starts when that first bell starts, and it's now showtime. The ticket prices just be right outside the arena. Go on, any of the secondary markets, and you'll see the drops quickly, and you can go right in. Probably 15, right. 20, 25 bucks maybe.
You can get hard cam left floor tickets from $467 with a chair.
There you go.
Yeah, the chair still has CM Punk on it, so that's why they're still charging the rate.
Fragile Phil on the chair.
Abe Cargill.
Yeah. It's Cody Phil and Jade on the chair, so they just up price on it.
Yep,
that's awesome.
Or maybe I'll get some ringside for TNA and get some Mike Bailey, chairs, and I'll put on a mullet, impersonate him, and sign him, make some money because I look just like him.
Oh my God, Steve! Anything else you're looking forward to?
No, I'm good. Good. I'm good, brother.
All right, that brings us to the best in show. All right, Rob, what do you got for best in show?
SmackDown, I'm thinking was pretty good. They introduced some new talent. We got to see a quick moving show. The matches were bangers all around. I enjoyed Carmelo Hayes' match, was good. I don't like who he faced, but he did a good job in the match. Cargill's match with Piper Niven was great. The Bloodline stuff is doing well. And they get more done in 2 hours than Raw gets done in three. So the AEW stuff this week wasn't bad, but it's very disjointed. And they're kind of slapping together an event that the night of, it feels like. So it's not that I don't like the matches, but I want to know that they lead to something instead of just everyone's just, and everyone's a heel in AEW too. There's every faction is a heel faction, but they're not, then they are, then they're not. I don't know who to like, who to get behind. And none of the nights were really productive. Also, Rampage is getting absorbed into other shows now, which is kind of just get rid of Rampage. Just fucking get rid of it. Make one of the nights three hours long and just say Rampage will be a 3 hour long Collision or a 3 hour long Dynamite.
They unfortunately won't do that, and that's because the television money is there.
Yep.
It's a Friday night, and it's again the problem is that it's not a successful product based on the eyes it gets, right? How many, growing
but it's off for the TV time it has.
Exactly. So, I mean, you bring, anywhere from 200 to 800,000 eyes, on each show. That is way more that the advertisers are going to pay for. And that means that the television deal is better. So it's pretty simple. All right, Steve.
All right, man. So for me, all of AEW TV had good matches this week. I think you hit the nail on the head with that, Rob. But what really gave, for me, Dynamite the edge, no pun intended, was the vignettes that we got. We're finally starting to see these more frequently. Thank God. The Malakai Black and House of Black vignette was fucking great. It finally looks like Malakai is going to be positioned as a credible title challenger, especially in a match against Adam Copeland in a barbed wire steel cage match at Double or Nothing, which should be crazy. Also, there was
Steve, really, really quick. It's very interesting. It's quite amusing that he wanted to go over there and now he's just doing gimmick matches in the, it's just kind of strange. It's like, here's a guy who doesn't have to do that.
Right. He doesn't have to at all.
Yeah.
So when they show you pictures of him holding his belt, he doesn't look happy. He's just got this like annoyed, like
that's just his ugly face.
Jesus.
Oh, come on.
You can't all be as handsome as Mike Bailey.
Oh God.
Well, you can't. If you buy your Mike Bailey teeth for $10.99 on sale at every live event, you too can look as handsome as Speedball Mike Bailey.
You want to look like it's 1994 forever? All right.
Here's the wig. Here's the teeth.
Don't forget
to
put it in your mouth and sell it.
So, yeah, also there was a Samoa Joe training vignette that was great. I mean, these things are being done more. AEW, I know that we've talked about it, and it's taken 5 years, but they're finally starting to do more and more vignettes. Yeah. There was even a Scorpio Sky vignette that ran on Collision. Yeah, that guy. He's still with the company, believe it or not. Yeah. So
I thought he was a janitor.
I mean, realistically, they've got the most bloated talent roster in professional wrestling. Why not use more people from show to show? So
it was your first tag champion, and
exactly. And he's done nothing since. So it's ridiculous. Hopefully, we can see Scorpio Sky on TV more frequently or at all.
Could they bring back SCU? You think?
Well, Kazarian's under contract to TNA, so that's not going to happen.
Daniels
is doing his tag thing with Matt Sydal, I guess. Yeah. But
whatever. Could. I wouldn't mind seeing him and Christopher Daniels come out and bring back SCU.
Yeah, Scorpio Sky, I believe, as long as he gets onto TV, people will understand exactly why so many people have, you know, been begging, pleading for this guy to come back. Now, in the vignette, he mentioned injuries. I get it. But there for the longest time, he, you know, the rumblings were that he was perfectly fine and he was just not being used. So
Let's face it. The faction that really should be created is Scorpio, Hobbs, and Wardlow.
Because I'd be down for that.
Okay, yeah. Are you being facetious or are you being...
No, because those are three guys who have had the exact same fucking problem. They are all guys who should be over the moon fucking talent at the highest level who get little pushes and then get fucked out of it.
Yep.
Over and over for 5 years.
Well, Brian Cage is another one. Brian Cage is like every time you would see him in a, you know, in any faction, in any promotion.
Brian Cage has a title shot on Dynamite this Wednesday.
No, I understand. But he's
Matt Michaels, that's an eliminator match. He has to win in order to get the title match.
Yeah, I never heard eliminator matches until like, you know, AEW came around. I'm like, wait, you have to fight the guy to then be able to fight the guy again to be able to fight the guy again to be able to fight the guy.
Well,
I mean, you know, that's their way of saying a number one contenders match, I guess.
Right. Yeah,
WWE has
they've done it before, but they never referred to it in so formally.
No,
yeah,
that's because they got a whole chamber for eliminations.
That they do.
That was like a dad joke within wrestling. It's very impressive. Very impressive.
No problem. I'm getting ready for Father's Day because I'm going to do your dad too, Rob.
Jesus.
I just This is way worse than anything I did with Speedball Mike Bailey.
Not true. I've got the video.
Uh-oh.
It was the Palms anyway. And we're not talking about the casino. Oh boy. All right. Final thoughts this week, Rob, as we head out to the abyss.
Sorry, just speedball. Tomorrow going to be at 18 Bin off Charleston and 3rd Avenue in Las Vegas. A little party called Drunken Jokes. We do that every Tuesday. I will be the host for the second week. As a regular host, Amir is in Japan. I hopefully will be over at Double or Nothing this weekend, too, if there's some last-minute $20 tickets. I want those FSW.
If you go this weekend, tell us how it was next week.
Yeah, no shit.
After when it actually happens.
Sorry about that.
I could see Rob hanging out at the MGM Grand like, wait, where is everyone?
Yeah, that's right. Whoops. All right. Yeah, following week. Anyways, you know what I meant.
No, but when you do buy your ticket online, and it is for this coming Sunday, don't be complaining to us how you got ripped off.
Oh, boy. Anyways, I'll make a bum fight out of it. I'll have the two janitors fight in the ring. But, yeah, that's it for me. Just come see my show.
All right. Steve, how about yourself?
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Whenever you're listening to the show, thank you for obviously subscribing to the show. We appreciate each and every single one of you. And then, hey, there we go. Repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%. And I did not forget, very, very, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do.
Which is to make really, really horrible, awful humor.
Absolutely. Is there any other kind on this show?
There actually is, and that's DJ's humor, which balances out this awfulness that is... us.
I don't even think I don't think I've ever heard him tell a joke. I really, but outside of here, Yeah, he's got some good ones too that'd probably get him canceled. So
yeah, but you see, Rob, what you haven't learned about comedy is if you do anything in white fuzzy slippers, you can get away with murder. Just ask OJ. That's what he actually wore.
Ah, Jesus. She didn't like his juice, so had to go.
you just
we miss you, OJ.
You just crossed the line. Oh my God. You know, you just took it too far. Too far.
No, too far is trying to bang my 81-year-old dad, but okay.
Hey, listen, all right, it was too far, Shakur. Okay, so
back to the dad jokes. That's the most offensive joke of the evening, or the dad ones. Those bother me more than anything else.
Oh my God. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in for the last time, everybody. I'm sure.
It's a Monday night show. Nobody was watching anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. Well,
that's why we didn't live stream it, because we knew how horrible this was going to be.
Thank you for joining us for this train wreck.
All right. God bless America.
Yep. Just like the movie, we threw Rob's mama from the train.
Something involving a train.
Well, at least my computer worked this time. Oh, Jesus. Wish my computer was breaking. Oh, my God. All right, guys. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you soon.
All right, everybody. And, you know, as DJ says, happy wrestling, everybody.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.